From Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, Missouri, here's Dr. Van Lees.
God sovereignly, in His grace, in His mercy, and in His power, takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and transfers us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He adopts us into His family, and the result is that the cry of the Christian heart is Abba, Father. This is really the highest privilege that could ever be bestowed upon a person, that we had the privilege and the right to call upon God as our Father.
Grace is God's loving favor given to those He saves. We don't deserve it, nor can we earn it. But if we are to live eternally with Christ, we must depend totally on God's grace. Welcome to God's Amazing Grace, the radio ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, committed to growing the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, Dr. Van Lees brings us the second part of a message entitled, Our Father Who Art in Heaven. If you grew up with an abusive or emotionally distant father, you may now experience estrangement, alienation, or hostility in your relationship with him. Well, countless people live estranged from God, hostile toward Him, and alienated from His fellowship. But the good news of the gospel, reflected in the very first words of the Lord's Prayer, declares that we can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ and know Him as our loving Heavenly Father. Are you frequently drawing near to your Heavenly Father in prayer and developing an ever-increasing intimacy in your fellowship with Him? The scripture text for today's message is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 13. Here again is Dr. Van Lees with today's edition of God's Amazing Grace. We've entitled, Our Father, Who Art in Heaven, Part 2.
But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When we consider our salvation, and we usually break it down into the various doctrines that take place, two legal declarations are especially prominent as we think about how we are saved, and what takes place in our lives when we are redeemed. Those are the doctrine of our justification by faith alone and the doctrine of adoption. In our justification, when we believe in Jesus, we are legally declared forgiven and righteous before God. Christ's work on the cross is applied to our lives and our sins are forgiven. Christ's perfect righteousness is imputed to us, and we stand before God as righteous, not because of our law-keeping, but because of His perfect obedience, His perfect law-keeping being imputed to us. The second legal declaration is that we are adopted into God's family as those who belong to a race that is in cosmic rebellion against God. We are not naturally a part of this family. Look over at John chapter 8, where Jesus is having one of His confrontations with the Pharisees, and beginning in verse 38, Jesus is speaking to them. He says, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you have heard from your Father. Notice the distinction He makes. I'm speaking the things of my Father. You're doing the things of your Father. They answered and said to Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks in his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But notice particularly Jesus said, you are doing the deeds of your father. And all through this passage, he makes a distinction between my father and your father. Now you may say, well, that's just those terrible rotten Pharisees who had the devil as their father, but the rest of us automatically have God as our father. But the doctrine of adoption, as I mentioned, presupposes that we have to be adopted into God's family. And in fact, in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 13, when Paul is speaking of our salvation, he says, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Well, while the term of adoption is not specifically used in this verse, the concept of being taken out of one kingdom or one family and transferred into another one is clearly present. In Romans chapter 8, as we read earlier, particularly in verses 15 and 16, that you had not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you had received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In human adoptions, a child is orphaned or abandoned and is placed for adoption by some governing authority. However, in God's adopting us into His family, it follows a different pattern. We are not abandoned or orphaned. Our spiritual father, the devil, doesn't place us up for adoption. He doesn't relinquish us and say, oh, here's one I think ought to go into God's kingdom. We don't naturally belong to that family or that kingdom, and God sovereignly, in His grace, in His mercy, and in His power, takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and transfers us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. He adopts us into His family. And the result is that the cry of the Christian heart is, Abba, Father. This is really the highest privilege that can ever be bestowed upon a person, that we had the privilege and the right to call upon God as our Father. In John's epistle, John was writing now as an older man, and in the first verse of chapter 3, he says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Verse 2, he says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. John says, look at it. Behold it. Think about it. You were born a child of Adam. Adam's sin was imputed to you. You came into this world at enmity with God. You hated God. You didn't have any desire for Him. You were in cosmic rebellion and treason against your Creator. And all through your life, you sinned daily, pronouncing yourself as Lord in your universe, shaking your fist at God. And whether you consciously perceive that in your life or not, that is what is true of every sinner. And in a moment in your life, the Holy Spirit changed your heart. Faith and repentance was granted to you. You're regenerated by the work of the Holy Spirit. You are brought to God, and you are adopted into God's family, as well as all the aspects of your salvation. God did not owe you salvation. He could have damned you to hell and been perfectly just, but He granted you mercy in Christ. John, in reflecting on that, seems to be almost overwhelmed in his language. He said, "Look at it. Think about it. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are." That's the reality. J.I. Packer, in his book Knowing God, writes this. He said, "If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. Do you realize that if you believe in Christ, not only are your sins forgiven, not only are you accepted as righteous in His sight because of Christ's righteousness credited to you, but that you are adopted into His family, you belong to Him. You can call God Father. You have that kind of relationship with the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. And if that doesn't move your soul, if that doesn't thrill your soul, I don't think anything will. That God is our Abba Father is a truth we need to cultivate in our lives for our soul's health. Now, the father-child understanding of our salvation brings a wholeness to our spiritual life. First, it brings a sense and security of our being loved by God. Reverend Everett Fulham tells how this came home to him when he was ministering to a remote tribe of the people of Nigeria. The tribe was so isolated that they never even heard the word Africa, much less America. And Fulham said that he had a memorable experience which drove home to him what it meant to have God as his own Father. It occurred during the baptism of three new converts. He writes, "There were two men and one woman, and we stood on the banks of the muddy river as a baptism took place there," and said they were wet and they were happy. He said, "I'd never seen three more joyful people." And he said, "All were smiling," and he asked one of them, he said, "What does this mean to you as you think about professing your faith, as you've just come to Christ?" And one who spoke English spoke in deliberate English. He said, "Behind this universe stands one God. Not a great number of warring spirits, as we had always believed, but one God. And that God loves me in Christ." Kent Hughes, in commenting on that story, said how beautiful. He said, "Separated by a millennia of culture, men and women through faith in Christ found the same spirit of adoption and the same sense of God's intimate love that we also find through Christ. Those three tribes people now prayed, 'Our Father,' and experienced the same sense of knowing God as Father and that love that we know." One application of this that I have often thought about is when we study the attributes of God and we consider God's omniscience, that He is all-knowing. We understand that God never comes to knowledge, that He knows all things always, that for all eternity He has known all things and He never learns something or comes to new information. And this means that since God has an eternal plan for us, in fact, in Ephesians 1:4, it mentions that in love He predestined us to adoption as children in Christ Jesus. That means that for all eternity, God has known you. And if you're in Christ, for all eternity, God has set His love upon you, had a plan for your life, both now and in eternity. Jeremiah 31:3 states it succinctly when God declares through the prophet, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. If you're in Jesus now, that means you have been an object of God's special love and favor forever. Do you know God in this way? You had that assurance in your life that He is truly your Father. If you trust in Jesus alone as your Savior, if you rely upon Him, then that is what the Scriptures declare. And no matter what bad experience you may have had with earthly fathers, contrast that to who God is as a perfect Father in infinite wisdom and in His mercy has redeemed you. Second, knowing that God is our Father drives home the reality of our forgiveness. God proclaims over and over in the Bible that He is holy and that He cannot look upon iniquity with favor. That the soul that sins will die, that the wages of sin is death. The fact that He adopts you into His family in the redemption we have in Christ gives us an assurance that not only are we justified before Him, but we are accepted and embraced by Him, and we will never be rejected by Him. Third, knowing that God is our Father gives us confidence and security in our life. Look back at Matthew chapter 6, and we see a theme all through this chapter of Jesus referring to God as our Father. Not only does He speak about not doing our almsgiving, our prayers, our fasting before men in order to receive praise of men, He says your Father who sees in secret will reward you as you do those things properly. In talking about prayer in verse 6, He said, and you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Again, the idea of prayer. And look down at verses 25 and following. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field. As they grow, they do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. He goes on, so God takes care of all the plants and the birds and so on. He'll take care of you. But notice that it's your Father who is taking care of you. Your Father knows what you need, is Jesus' point. And the idea is God caring for us based on His fatherhood. One minister, in talking about the fatherhood of God, and he said that his young son expressed an implicit and absolute trust in him one time. He got up on the top of the refrigerator, and he didn't see him there. As he walked by, he jumped off the refrigerator and landed in his dad's arms. Oh, like this. And he said, I caught him. But he said, my son didn't have the slightest thought in his mind that I wouldn't catch him. He said, I might not have, but he was little and he got him. He said, that's the kind of implicit trust we are encouraged in Scripture to have toward our Heavenly Father. He gives us a sense of security and confidence in this life, and it's a valid sense of security because He is all-powerful and He cares about His children. This is why Jesus exhorted us not to worry about the future. Not to worry about what might happen tomorrow, but God, knowing God will take care of you today. We also think about the idea that God makes the promises He makes in Scripture based on us being His people. For example, one of the more known and loved promises of Scripture is Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. This promise is not to all people, it is only to those who are called according to His purpose, who love God, to those who are saved, those who are redeemed. But we have a sure promise from God that nothing will touch us in our life in such a way that God will not work it together for good for us. Now, we may not understand how all the things work together in our lives in that way, but we are adopted into His family. He is our Father. He makes those promises, and He is all-powerful and all-knowing and can affect those things in our lives. One final point. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray to our Father, which implies prayer in the Christian community. Authentic Christianity is never isolated, for our salvation is individual before God. The Holy Spirit places us in a community of faith, the body of Christ, the church. Even the most cursory reading of the New Testament shows that we are not to live the Christian life by ourselves, but be a part of Christ's church. And we are to pray with God's people to our Father. The phrase, "Our Father who art in heaven," emphasizes His transcendence, His holiness, that God is the one who reigns and rules over His universe. And then we think of the phrase, "Our Father," which touches upon His immanence. So we had the transcendence of God as well as the immanence of God in that one phrase. Both are important aspects of our relationship with God through Christ. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, the question 100 says, "What does the preface of the Lord's Prayer teach us?" The preface of the Lord's Prayer, which is "Our Father, which art in heaven," teaches us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence, as children to a Father, able and ready to help us, and that we should pray with and for others. Do you know that God is your Father? Are you confident of His love for you? The way we know that is in the gospel. When we believe in Jesus and we understand that Jesus met all the needs associated with our salvation, and we have the reliant trust in Him alone as our Savior. If you're not in Christ, throw yourself upon Jesus. He's the only way of salvation. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one," a universal negative, "no one comes to the Father except through me." Thomas Watson, the Puritan writer, in commenting on the Lord's Prayer, said, "See the amazing goodness of God, that He is pleased to enter into the sweet relation of Father to us. He needed not to adopt us. He did not want a son or need a son, but we needed a Father. He showed power in being our Maker, but mercy in being our Father. That when we were enemies and our hearts stood out as garrisons against God, He should conquer our stubbornness, and with enemies make us children, and write His name and put His image upon us and bestow a kingdom of glory. What a miracle of mercy this is." Every adopted child of God may say, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight." And if God be a Father, then I infer that whatever He does to His children, it is ultimately in His love. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being able to call You that in Your mercy, in Your eternal plan of salvation, Jesus has redeemed us. We have been brought to You through the work of the Holy Spirit, and we have been adopted into Your family. We pray that You would enable us not to take that lightly or ever become accustomed to Your grace, but to continue to be awed by it and be moved in worship of what has been done through us in Jesus. Say with Paul, thanks be to God that this is an inexpressible gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
The good news of the gospel, reflected in the very first words of the Lord's Prayer, declares that we can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ and know Him as our loving Heavenly Father. For an audio copy of today's broadcast, ask for the message entitled, Our Father, Who Art in Heaven. Our mailing address, God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. That's area code 636-447-5691. God's Amazing Grace is a radio ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles. Dr. Van Lees is our pastor teacher. The church is located at 1111 Moogie Road. You're invited to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 11. Sunday school for adults and children begins at 10, with a Sunday evening Bible study at 6:30. Home Bible study groups, as well as men's and women's Bible studies, meet once a month and are excellent opportunities to build friendship and receive Christian support. At various times during the year, the church also offers theological seminars on such topics as God's sovereignty and salvation, heaven and hell, and the Trinity. The goal of Covenant of Grace Church is to glorify God in making disciples by teaching and equipping the saints and being salt and light in our community and our world. To learn more about Covenant of Grace Church and the ministry opportunities available, call the church office at 636-447-5691 or visit us online at covenantofgracechurch.org. And once again, for a copy of today's broadcast, request a message entitled, Our Father, Who Art in Heaven. Our address again, God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. You can also hear today's message over the internet anytime. Just log on to our Real Audio website at accradio.com. Well, thank you for being with us today. And we invite you back next time when we'll once again declare the glory of God's amazing grace.